You are listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. The following teaching is given by one of the missionaries that our church supports. Jesus has called the church to go into all the world and proclaim the good news, and our support for missions is an important part of fulfilling the Great Commission. We hope you enjoy this teaching and are encouraged to participate in the great task of taking the gospel to all people. For more teachings and resources, or to learn more about the missions work that Bay Ridge supports, please go to bayridgechristianchurch.org.
This morning, we are blessed to have Tim and Maureen McElhaney here with us. They've been staying with the Backs the last few days, and Linda and I got to spend some time with them yesterday, taking them around the United States Naval Academy. So we took them on a little tour, went downtown to the docks, and got to have fun with them and the kids. And so they're going to be sharing with us what's going on in their ministry, as we've been praying for them each Sunday. We've told you there's a few new twists that are coming their way. So we're going to see what God's going to open up and do. But I want to turn it over to them, and let's give them our attention and hear what God's speaking to us.
Thank you. I'd like to first just start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into telling you about our lives and our ministry. Father, we are grateful for your love for us, for your presence. We are truly humbled to be able to speak to you. To share our concerns, our fears, our joys, our sorrows, and know that that you're there with us through all things. We pray that the remainder of the service, as the first part, completely gave you all the glory, that you will be glorified in our words, in our actions. And we thank you for Bay Ridge Community Church, our Christian church, and for being able to be here today to share our lives and what God is, what you called us to. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. All right, so thank you. It's good to be here. Never been to Maryland, never been to D.C., so it's good to be in this part of the world for the first time. I would like to just thank the church for the support that we've already received, not just the financial stuff. I'm talking about the prayer. It is truly unique at this point. By the way, I'm ad-libbing, I know. Sorry. She's already thinking, we're going to go way over the time, but here's a bit of history. We told the Backs and Brett during a Skype chat a while back that we're both introverts. We don't really like being up here, but when we start talking, we never shut up. So if we go well beyond the 30 minutes, we'll have to heat the food up and, you know, it'll be fine. But what was I saying before that? Thank you. It's good to be here. It truly is good to have to know a church that wants to support missionaries. It is a rare thing, I want you to know, these days, to have a church that truly wants to be behind missionaries. So that is something that I'm thankful for y'all very, very much. So with that said, y'all don't really know us. That's a Southern thing, y'all, by the way, and I may say that a couple times, but you don't really know us. So we want to tell you our testimonies, as well as what God has been doing in our lives, and what we hope God will be doing in the future. So, and there are some interesting twists that have occurred in the last few weeks. So first, I'd like to just share a bit about the prophet Elijah. You can turn to 1 Kings 17 and 18 if you wish. I'm not going to actually read the text, but just tell you a bit about the story and something there that's very inspiring to us. In 1 Kings 17 and 18, we read about Elijah, and in 17:1, he gives a word to King Ahab and Jezebel. And he tells them that there will be 3 years of famine. There will be no rain. The reason is because they were promoting the worship of Baal and Asherah. And he immediately goes into hiding after that. But he gives the word. God tells him to say it. He does it. In 18:1, we find God then telling Elijah to go back to King Ahab. I would not have done that. I'm not sure I could have done that. But he obeyed God. He goes back, and then the events unfold at Mount Carmel, where you have the prophets of Baal and Asherah praying for rain to come down, or for fire to come down and consume the offering. Nothing happens. And there are lots of funny stories within that text, especially when Elijah's actually kind of berating them. Pray louder, and maybe your God will hear you. But what I want to focus on is the fact that Elijah prayed. He fully expected the fire to come. And even now, when I think about that, the faith that it took, knowing that his God would come through in the end, drives me forward each and every day. So pray and expect the fire. If you hear nothing else that we say today, that's what I want you to just to take away from today. So at each stage of Elijah's life, he had a door to go through. He had a choice to make, and he willingly walked through the doors that God provided for him. And I want to kind of pull us into a different scenario to make a kind of a parallel. Do you remember as a kid, maybe as a parent or as a grandparent, when you first learned to open and close doors? You know, maybe it's harder for some of us. It's been a while for me. But a couple years ago, I remember when our son Luke, who just turns 4 in a week, he started to open doors and close doors. And he did this because when he was younger, we would actually close doors to keep him out of trouble. You know, keep him out of room, don't want him going there because, you know, that room is not baby-proof. But when he would close the door, he would say, "Me close door," which was very cute for a 2-year-old. But there was this power and this freedom that he had, and that he knew that he could open and close the door, and he could do it at will. Just this morning, in fact, Kate, who turned 1 a month ago or so, she was closing the pantry door at the Max. You know, Maureen said, "Close the door." She closed it. Now, there's something in that ability to know that you have control over your life. That's not always the case with God. You know, God has control of our lives. We may have a choice where we want to go, but he is going to direct our paths. But there's something in that that he provides, though, open doors at times. Right now, I want to just tell you a bit about myself and my testimony. Life is full of those doors that are open. And I grew up in a small church in South Carolina, about this size, actually, and Memorial Baptist Church in St. George. So I do have a bit of a southern drawl. If it kicks in and you can't understand me, ask for a translator. And seriously, it can get really bad at times. But I felt like that was a complete open door for me. You know, I had Christian parents who took me to church. If the doors were open at the church, we were there. You know, that was the type of experience that I had. And I praise God that I had parents who loved me and desired to follow the will of the Father and to take their children to church. I accepted Christ at a revival. My church was one of those churches that had the scheduled revival every fall. So they still do that. But I did. I walked the aisle. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And I didn't really know what that meant. You know, I was probably 9 or 10 at the time. But I made the choice. Later, I went to a camp, Royal Ambassador Camp. It's a Southern Baptist thing. It's kind of like a Southern Baptist Boy Scouts. And I recommitted my life to Christ. And it's also at that camp where I first felt the call to do full-time ministry and also to do missions. No idea what it meant. But I was willing to take the steps that were necessary to follow God's will for my life. So I knew that even before I went to college that I would eventually go to seminary. And again, didn't know what that would pan out to be. But you just follow the doors that open and the path that God lays out before you, and willingly submit, you know, knowing that in 15, 20 years, you look back and you'll see the path. And you know that, oh, wow, God led me through all of that. You know, praise God that he will do that. So hindsight is 20/20. There were many people in my life that were influential. I'd just like to mention one. His name is Terry McLeod. I wanted to be Terry McLeod. He was our minister of music and youth. He was probably, in addition to my parents, the one person who influenced my life. And just before you, I'd like to thank God for this man of God who influenced me. And I know that burden now as an older individual. I won't say tell you my age, but you can ask me later, of having an influence on children, on those around me. I actually got the opportunity to go back to that camp, that RE camp, where I made that rededication and to be a staff member. So it's very important as fathers, as men of God, to have an influence on the young, the youth around us, and children. In college, I started to take my faith a great deal more seriously, having quiet times and truly trying to grow. Even at the end of college, I thought about being a journeyman missionary with the International Mission Board for 2 years. Went through the whole process. Got to Richmond, Virginia, which is where the IMB is located. Went through all the tests, the forms, sitting up against the building in a flower bed praying. And they had said earlier today, that day, that you know, some of you are here and you won't be going, but God brought you here for a reason. I ended up being one of those people. It was one of the hardest decisions that I'd ever had to make, to say, because I like to finish things that I start. It's a little bit of the OCD that I have. You know, you start, you finish. That's how it works. But I walked away from it, knowing that God would bring me back full circle at one point, and that's where I find myself today. Eventually went to seminary and earned 2 degrees. I'm a church historian. What do you do with that? I don't really know yet. I'm still trying to figure out. You teach. I have taught for many years for a variety of schools, but my real heart is to go to the mission field, to Africa, and to teach. And we'll share a bit more about that later. I'll turn it over to my wonderful wife at this point.
Okay. I'm not as used to talking like kids, like teaching. So just a little bit of my background. My background is very similar to Tim's, growing up in a Christian home, but except it happened on the other side of the world. I was born in the Philippines to Chinese parents, and I think the biggest open door for me is actually being born into a Christian family, because my ancestors were Buddhist from both sides of my family. My parents at that time were already Christian, so we had a good Christian home to grow up in. I'm one of 4 kids. I'm the oldest. I have 2 sisters and a brother who's the youngest. And I pretty much grew up in church. I was involved in all the activities. I was involved in missions. And at 9, I realized that just because I'm a child of Christian parents doesn't mean that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. So at that point, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And as a child, I guess I did that, but I didn't really grow until I was 12. And at that time, it was at a school revival meeting that I realized that I do have to grow as a Christian and not just say I accept Christ. So it was at 12 years old when I started to grow as a Christian. And at 15, this is, I think, the turning point in my life as far as knowing some direction at all. That's when I felt God calling me into full-time ministry. And just like Tim said, I don't really know what it meant at that time as far as how it would turn out, but I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life, whatever it meant. And the verses that spoke to me when at that age was Isaiah 6:8, and it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Another verse that really spoke to my heart was Matthew 9:37. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And that's still very true now. So these two verses really kind of spoke to me and made me make that decision that day. After that, I went on to finish college in the Philippines, and then we moved here to the United States. It wasn't until a year after that, attended an Urbana conference. It's a student, more like college level missions conference that I attended. And the challenge that year was to be strategic and to be significant. They challenged us to use our lives to make a difference in another person's life. So to me, that's when I was exposed to all the missionaries and all the mission work or the mission agencies that's all around the world. And that's when I heard about being a career missionary and using your career as to go on the mission field, and where I learned about medical missions. So I told God, well, maybe that's what you want me to do. So I told him, if you open the doors, I'll keep going that direction, because I never really wanted to be a doctor. A real doctor. I studied optometry in the Philippines, which is kind of like a doctor, but not really. But you know, the long haul of the doctor. So that was, you know, I'll just go one step at a time. If God opens the door, I will. I'll keep going through. And so I started the process, doing pre-med stuff, medical school. It wasn't easy. Every step of the way, there was struggle. But for some reason, he allowed me to finish everything and go through each step, I guess, at his time. So I finally went to medical school in Chicago, and then finished my surgical residency in Baylor in Dallas. And I can tell you that it wasn't easy. And I'm just not talking about the surgery part. Every step was hard. But for some reason, God opened the doors, and I walked through them. So that's where it, and after that, it was pretty much a crossroads in our lives. And we met before medical school, and we got married the first year after medical school. So Tim will continue on with our story.
Actually, first year in medical school, after the first year of medical school, yeah. We got married during medical school. So I went through medical school, too, and residency. And we had Luke in the middle of residency somewhere in there. It's all a blur. But right at the end of medical school, Maureen wanted to do a short-term mission trip, medical-wise. God completely orchestrated everything, as he always does. You know that he does that. We met two missionaries who, speaking at a CMDA meeting at her school, actually we met the wife. She was a medical doctor in Nigeria. And we looked at one route going to somewhere, Tenwick in Kenya. The door slammed shut, you know, just didn't work out. And we contacted Dr. Kirshner. She said, oh, call SIM. They'll set you up. So we called SIM, never heard of them before. I think historically maybe I had heard of the Sudan Interior Mission, but I didn't know much about them. And we took a short-term, two-month mission trip to Joss. And y'all are familiar with Joss because I know you know the Ardils. Maureen was able to work with Dr. Ardil. I taught a class at the seminary, JETS, Joss Ekwa Theological Seminary. It was a great time. Not everything went perfect, as typically happens in Nigeria and other African nations. There were some bumps in the road, but you know, we left Nigeria knowing very clearly that we would go back at some point. You know that, and I'll share more about the bumps in the road later. But we know that God is calling us to missions, and eventually it will be Nigeria. I think we know that in our hearts, but we will follow the path that He takes us through to get there. Maureen completed her residency in 2010. And at that point, you know, surgical residency is like 6 years or something ridiculous. You know, you spend your life, you're, as speaking of slaves, you're basically a slave for 6 years. We got through that. We knew at the end of residency that the next step would be missions, but we didn't know exactly what to do. We had the experience with SIM from 2004 when we went to Evangel Hospital, and we decided let's go back and explore the possibilities. Let's see what they have in store for us. As we thought through where we would go, Nigeria was at the top of our list. In fact, we hoped to go to Evangel Hospital, but the opportunity simply isn't there. And we looked around for other possibilities, and I'll share more about Egbe, Nigeria, where we have been pointing toward in just a few minutes. But Maureen's going to make a comment or two just about SIM. I know you know SIM, but just to remind you, and perhaps for some of you who are not as familiar with the group, who SIM is.
Okay. So SIM is pretty much, I actually knew about SIM a long time ago, but Tim didn't. Urbana as well. So whoever is here in college, go to Urbana. I think it'll open your eyes to the world around you and the need out there. Basically, SIM is founded in 1893 with a desire to reach the interior parts of Africa. It's originally called Sudan Interior Mission. And since then, they have merged with three other big mission organizations. And now they're called SIM. And it used to be stand for Serving in Mission, but now they're actually not focusing on that. They want SIM to stand as SIM because it's so international now that if you're in China, you can't really translate serving S as in serving in mission. They don't understand that. But basically, we are part of SIM, and the purpose is to glorify God by planting, strengthening, and partnering with churches around the world as we evangelize the unreached, minister to human need, disciple believers in churches, equip churches to fulfill Christ's commission, and those are their focus and where they how do you call that? The purpose of everyone's work is focused on those things. SIM is international. It's interdenominational and multicultural. It's a family, really, of believers seeking to serve Christ on the mission field.
I mentioned a few moments ago that that we chose a door when we were going through the process with SIM, and we chose to go to Egbe, Nigeria. There are a few options that were kind of on the table. Our regional director, Dick Ackley, just said, you know, if you don't know exactly, if God's not giving you a clear message, look at the possibilities that are laid out. You know, trust the godly men and women who are giving you direction. Choose a direction. And if God wants you to go in that direction, he'll keep opening doors. And up until about 3 weeks ago, we knew for sure that we were heading to Egbe, Nigeria. Now we're not so sure. I know that I think Brett has mentioned exactly what's going on that we've learned just very recently. In fact, in April, we were planning on departing. We're ready to get our visas, ready to depart. In October of 2012, the Nigerian Medical and Dental Council put in some new regulations. Essentially, they blocked Maureen from getting a medical license in Nigeria. We at first thought that maybe it was an African-wide trend, but it turns out not. And we are looking at a few other options that may be temporary placements, but still wondering whether God is leading us toward Egbe. Time is too short for me to tell you everything that's happened over the last 2 years that would have made anybody in this room think that we were going to Egbe. So I know in my heart that at some point in the future, you know, God will take us down a path back to Egbe. There have been a lot of people working in the background with SIM in the U.S. and in Nigeria, as well as some Nigerians looking into the possibility of what these new regulations mean. But they're so new and so strict that there really don't seem to be any loopholes, which is kind of odd for Nigeria because there are always loopholes. So we're still praying that that something will change, that you know someone will realize the implications of the decisions. But we have to live with the reality of the fact that what we're being told is that there is no way right now, and we will trust God for the future. That doesn't mean in 6 months or a year that it might change. So with that in place, we have been continually praying for Egbe, but looking at other possibilities as well. And it's not what we had thought, but we trust God. And just like the prophet Elijah, you know, went through the doors that God opened, we're willing and desiring to go wherever God opens the doors for us. The two other places that we're thinking about are Galmi, Niger, or Niger, if you want to do the French pronunciation, and Kajabe, Kenya. We know a little bit about these places, but not as much as we know about Egbe, so we're still learning. I know that you have missionaries in Niger, so you're familiar with that country. And so we're praying that over the course of the next month, I can be a bit impatient. I wanted an answer a week ago, 2 weeks ago, but God has his timing, and I know that, we know that, and we trust him. Whatever door that he opens, we will step through it. Egbe is to be a 2-year assignment for us. We want to serve long term. You know, we say 2 years, we're going to come back and we're going to go back, and we just plan to stay there until they kick us out of wherever we go, until God tells us to return. Egbe would have been a 2-year assignment. If we go to Galmi or Niger, or Galmi or Kenya or Kajabe, it will likely be a 1-year assignment. The reason behind that is that we'll go, we'll come back, we'll reassess, and see what God wants us to do at that point, and truly see if maybe Nigeria will open the door, if there's another way to get in, and trust God for that. But that's what SIM is leading us. The corporate office in Charlotte, North Carolina, is directing us to do, and we trust them, and we trust that God is guiding them as well. So, simply put, you know, this is our heart. This is our desire. It's to be used by God and to serve in long-term missions. That's what everything that we've been through in our lives has been pointing to. You know, there have been things that I have wanted, I know, that have not been in the will of God, and those doors have slammed shut in my face. And, you know, things that I desired, you know, out of my flesh. But we know that God is leading us to serve him in missions. You know, those 2 months that we spent in Jos in 2004 had a major impact on our lives. You know, if you've been on a mission trip, you go, you come back, you think, why do I need all this stuff? I've got way too much stuff. And we forget, you know, over time, the impact of a mission trip, but for us, it's still very real. We realize we don't really need a lot of stuff. All we need is God, and we need to go where he wants us to go. And that's it. That's life. You know, we will serve him wherever he takes us, wholeheartedly, completely, and know that in the end, if no one ever remembers our names, that they will remember our Father's name.
Well, just a little bit about that before I start the next part. You know, Tim is talking about all this. It's not easy, even though we're going through this time. No, it's okay. We do want to be used by God, but it's not easy, and we do need prayers. When we first heard the news about not being able to go, I don't even know how to explain what we were feeling. But I think we've been through 3 weeks, and I think God has allowed us to heal a little bit. But we're still recovering. And I think it's because people are praying for us. And we know that even though we don't act like it, in the bottom of our hearts, God is in control. With all the planning and all the preparations that we've made, it's just very difficult to say. You know, we were dreaming about meeting all the people that we've talked to and emailed. And it was just hard to let go of all that within a month of leaving. You know, we were following what's happening in Egbe and all the construction work that's been going on and the people who are working there now. You know, we've communicated with them. So it's just difficult for us to know exactly, okay, this is a shot, and it's hard to know, it's hard to realize that it's final. So we're still kind of getting through that. And even though he's saying that, yeah, we are going, but it's hard to make decisions. So please pray for us in that way, that we'll know and be confident enough to make the right decision when it opens up. Because there are many doors there that's open, or we'll be opening, but we need to pick the right, you know, the right door to go through. So we need you guys to back us up there. Okay, enough of that. Sorry. To go back to our next point is going to be what are we going to do there, or what are we planning on doing when we get overseas? Basically, I'm a physician. I'm trained in general surgery, so I like to work with my hands and cut people up or fix things up. But, you know, on the field, it's not like the healthcare that we have here. So it's going to be very different, and I'm going to have to adapt to a lot of different things and, you know, learn to do things new in a different way. But my goal to go overseas is really to reach people's hearts by meeting their physical needs first. And through that, hopefully be able to show them Christ's love and also share about Jesus to them. And also to hopefully change the healthcare of the community from the bottom up. Healthcare, if you've been overseas and especially into Africa, they have a lot of animism and all that stuff going on. Where they don't really believe in healthcare, and they only go to the hospital when they're about to die, or when everything's so bad that nothing helped. They've been to the witch doctor and everything else. So a lot of things that I'm gonna be seeing are people who are, you know, at the end of the rope. So we won't be able to save everyone, but we hope that we can reach them, at least tell them about God's love. So that's my goal. And also, let's see. And also, hopefully to change their idea of how to take care of themselves.
I mentioned earlier that I went to seminary and ended up being a church historian. I love to teach. I love interacting with students. As I said earlier, I am an introvert. I like being in the front of the room because there's no one behind me. You know, if you're an introvert, you know what that means. You never like having someone behind your back. So I love getting to know students. I love seeing them grasp something that's maybe academic, maybe just way out there, but then realizing how practical something historical or something theological is, something biblical, and how they then can apply it to their lives and to their ministry. And that's my goal as a teacher. And whatever opportunity that the door that God opens for me, whether it be in Egbe, Galmi, or Kajabe, to have an opportunity to teach and to share and to minister to learn from other pastors and ministers, but to be a conduit as best I can to share what God has allowed me to learn as a teacher. In Egbe, there is an opportunity for me to teach at a mission school. Not too long after a major project to revitalize the hospital began, a mission school started in Egbe. Nigeria is kind of a focal point, in my opinion, for the future of Christianity in Africa. I know that other countries' missionaries would probably say the same thing, but I'm kind of, you know, biased in my opinion, Nigeria. Largely because of the split between Islam and Christianity, Islam in the north, Christianity in the south, and the fact that Nigeria's population, it's the most populous nation in all of Africa. It's half our population, and I forgot, like one-tenth the size or something ridiculous like that. I mean, there's so many people in Nigeria. And if the believers in Nigeria, and there are a lot of believers in Nigeria, were to rise up and to be a missionary force, the impact on North Africa would be immense. So this mission school in Egbe is just doing that. It's a goal. It has a goal of training missionaries, Nigerians, to go into North Nigeria, North Africa, and the Middle East. So if God opens this door to Egbe at some point in the near future or the distant future for us to go there, I will take part in that mission school. In Galmi, there would be opportunities for me to work with in chaplaincy ministry at the hospital, because that is a hospital compound, and also to work with local pastors. In Kajabe, I guess I need to go forward, don't I? In Kajabe, there's a Bible college, Moffitt Bible College, that we're looking into as far as the possibility of my teaching there. And that's what we know at this date. You know, one of the first things that we were told when we started missionary training with SIM is that you have to be flexible. I said, oh yeah, I'm really flexible. I can handle almost anything. This one really threw us for a loop. It's a sucker, shot to the gut, out of left field, everything that you want to say, but it really caught us off guard. But we are trusting God. Each and every day, we trust that God will take us down a path and follow His will. So we are going to serve, and our desire is to use our gifts in medicine and in teaching to share the love of Christ, to see God move, to be His hands and His feet, to see His church rise up and carry forth the gospel, to do what so many have done before us, and to do what many will do after us, I pray. Hospitals, teaching, they're just tools. We want to encourage and equip believers, God's people, to do their part in God's kingdom. As outsiders, Maureen's not really white, but as white people in Africa, you can have an impact. If you go around in Jos, if you go around in Jos, I just lost the term. I'll do Egbe first. In Egbe, if you go around, everyone yells, Oyibo, Oyibo, peeled skin, white person. You know, I told a guy in Egbe when I visited in 2011, if I did that in Texas, I'd get shot. I yelled, black person, or someone yelled, white person. But you're a draw. You are literally like a magnet. People want to know who you are. They want to know about you. So you can have an impact missiologically, as a missionary. But the true impact is when the indigenous believers rise up and they take the church, they take the gospel to their own. You know, Joss, it's, you can't remember either. Okay, I drew a blank. It'll come back to me when I sit down. But, you know, our goal is to be used as far as God will use us, but to equip believers in whatever country we end up in to do their part. Like Elijah, draw it back to the beginning, we want to walk in faith and pray, and no matter where God takes us, to expect the fire, to expect God to come. Another great missionary, William Carey, is famous for saying, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And that is our heart, that is our desire. You know, life is full of doors, of opportunities to serve our Lord and Savior. You know, like our son Luke, sometimes we go around closing those doors, you know, just because we don't want to live our lives that way. We want to live our lives walking through the doors that God opens for us and trusting that he is directing our paths. And we pray that daily, and we ask that you pray that for us, that we will be in the center of his will and live humbly there, desiring to serve. So we thank all of you at Bay Ridge Christian Church for your support and your prayers. Even though we've just met, these are not the circumstances under which we had hoped to meet, but these are the circumstances under which God wanted us to meet. And we trust him for that. And we thank you for walking this with us. As far as we go together, we know that God has made this connection, that it's one of those preordained things that only God can do in his way. So thank you.
Thanks to Tim and Maureen. What we're going to do now, as those of you who've been around for a while know, we're going to be taking up a love offering in just a moment to be able to support them. As you know, they were being open and honest and sharing here. You can imagine if you had laid out your plans for a long period of time, and then only a month or two before, and the plans are not something small. They include picking up and moving to a different continent. That's a big shift and a big change. I remember Tim calling the day that you know, right after they had found out and it became apparent this was going on, and us talking, and you know, I shared some things out of my own story that I hope were encouraging to him to be able to do. But we want to be able to support them in doing that. We do know, and it's one of the reasons it was exciting to us to be able to partner with them. We had partnered with the Ardills for years, and Bill was doing surgery, and Marie was doing, Dorothy was doing the working in the school. Well, here we've kind of got the opposite situation, and we're really grateful that God is opening a door for them in Africa. They need medical care, but the believers need training. And, you know, Tim, through his work, he's got a PhD from down at Southwestern Theological Seminary, Baptist Theological Seminary down in Texas. He's got the skills to be able to train them, to give them perspective and depth so that they can be mobilized. And we don't know, hopefully long-term, that's going to be back in Nigeria, but if it's in the short term, either in Kenya or in Galmi, which Tony Marsh and I have actually been in the hospital they're at, the hospital there in Galmi, because it's not far from the Ardills. Maybe God will open up a tying together there. But we're going to have a chance to support them both in giving financially in just a moment and then in praying for them. So I want you to pray and ask God what the door would be for you to walk through to support them financially. Everything that comes in right now is going to go to them. All of it is just for them to be able to use, as they're still going to be picking up sometime in the coming months and moving somewhere over to Africa. So we want to help them to be able to do that. And if you forgot to bring a checkbook today or whatever else, if you just write on a piece of paper an IOU, tell us what you want to go to them, put your name on it. We'll go ahead and give them the funds for doing that, and then you can bring the money in on a different day. So if I can go ahead and have the ushers come forward for us to take up the love offering. And then after we take it up, we're going to bring them, Tim and Maureen, forward so we can have them come up here and the whole congregation will gather around and pray for them. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful to be able to partner together. Lord, I'm grateful that I remember when Elijah was they're working, and it appeared, Lord God, that things were going wrong, Father, but there was a word to one of the supporters at the time that he had thought he was the only one who had not bowed the knee to Baal, but God, you said that there were 7,000 others, Father, and they were, even when it appeared that Elijah was standing alone, Father, there were others who you had still reserved, who you had kept, and they worked together to keep the faith going in Israel and for the faith to be able to spread. And Lord, we are grateful today that we can partner together, Father, that we can be part of what's going to go on. Lord, we do want to see this work go forward, whether in the short term it's going to be Kenya, Niger, or you opening a door miraculously in Nigeria right now. And Father, our hope and prayer is for the long term it would be Nigeria. But God, we are grateful to be able to partner together. We pray that you would take this money and you would use it so that Tim and Maureen can have the funds to be able to accomplish whatever open door you are giving for them. And Father, we do pray that you would use this to let the fire fall, that God, you would do that which only you can do. Father, we believe that we serve a supernatural God. Father, we believe your word. You proclaim that when Elijah called, fire came out of heaven, licked up the water in the trench. You did a miracle, Lord. When he prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and when he prayed again, it did rain. Father, you have not become less supernatural today than you were back then. And so, Father, we pray you would use these gifts supernaturally, and then, Father, that you would be supernaturally opening doors for Tim and Maureen to go forth to the place you have called them. We ask that you do this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if everybody wants, we can come on forward and pray for Tim and Maureen. Come on down, and we'll conclude in a couple moments with a benediction after that. But I want to encourage you, as always, let's pray for them. Let's cry out for God to intervene. Believe that he hears our prayers. He is a mighty, mighty God. Again, St. Patrick, you know, the old saying is, when he came to Ireland, there were no believers. By the time he died a few decades later, everybody seemed to be a believer. That's the God we serve, and we want to pray for him to work powerfully. I want to encourage you as well that God does speak and give words, and so if you have a scripture on your heart, or maybe the Lord just giving a word of encouragement or something, let's be sensitive to that and pray for Tim and Maureen. So if you want to pray something, raise your hand. I'll get you the mic, and we'll do that, and I'll close this out in a couple of minutes. And you can come in closer. I will not bite. I had something for breakfast. I promise.
You don't speak much Mandarin, but do you understand Mandarin pretty well? Good, so if I mess it up, don't mind, but I actually felt it. Baba Shangdi, Waman Doshi Shini. Waman Defuchin, Waman Chirdao, Nida Nur, Aini. Taka Guntarajia, Budrudao, Nida Jihua. Woman one knee. Chingay Taman Nida Jihua. Father, bless them. As they seek you, and as other people seek you for them, Father. Show them how much you love them in so many different ways. And Father, let them understand your ways. Thank you, Jesus.
I pray that we would learn from their example. And we just thank you for them and that you would strengthen them in their hearts during this time of waiting, that your comfort would be upon them. You'd bless their steps, Lord God. Raise them up. Guard them against the enemy. Pray that you'd guard them with the angel of the Lord and the sword out and make the enemy's path slippery. Pray you go before them and just step at a time, help them to see your hand, your mercy, your love, your guidance, and your strength towards them. In Jesus' name.
Father, I pray, I really pray that they would look forward to the day when they would be able to look back and see how you have orchestrated every step of the way, that every closed door was really an open door to the future open doors, that it was a timing and a bringing together circumstances that they could not see. when I look back, they'll be able to see that it was perfect, that if they get to Egg Bay, it'll be at the right time, not prematurely, that they will be better prepared, that circumstances will be better brought together, Father God, that they would be able to rest in that, to rest in to a greater degree than they have rested until today in your sovereignty and in the fact that you see things they cannot see, that you know what they do not know, and that you have a marvelous plan, Lord. Help them to know, to grasp, like it talks about in Ephesians 3, the magnitude of your love for them, the length, the depth, the breadth, the height of your love for them, Lord, out of which all of these things are flowing, Father God, that you are doing for them what they would desire to do for their own children, not only their children, but the ones that, but the lives that they're going to be, not just for them, but for the lives that they're going to be impacting, Father God. You are working every detail together. We know this in a way they cannot see, and that they would be able to, I pray you'd supernaturally help them to know that and rest in that in a whole new way and to be established in your love and just be filled with the fullness of who you are, knowing that you are working immeasurably more than all they could ask or imagine as they step outside that box of predictability. We pray these things, Father, in your powerful, the powerful name of your Son, Jesus.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Father God, we are so moved by this young couple's desire to serve you. It's overwhelming to me, and such a heart they have for you, Lord, and such obedience. Lord, we know that you will honor their obedience in waiting on you. Right now, it seems like that's their only choice, but they still are obedient to wait on you. Father, I pray for their protection, that they will make the right choices. I pray for these little ones that they have, this darling son and daughter, that you will surround them as a shield, that you will be a shield to them, the glory and the lifter of their heads. Thank you, Father God, that you will shield them from any danger, from any thoughts that aren't your thoughts, that you will protect them in all ways. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God, we come together now and we ask in your name that you would open the doors and send them, Lord. And they have asked you, they have desired it in their hearts. They have served you, Lord, and they have desired to go onto the field to serve you. And you said, Lord, that if we ask anything in your name, Lord, that you would do it. And we are here asking together. We're all together in unity of spirit, Lord, and we ask the thing that we know you would have us ask. We ask a thing, Lord, that you already have put on their hearts, that you already have ordained. And so we ask now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would make it happen and that you would get them onto the mission field. And, Lord, whatever that looks like and wherever that is, that it would come to pass quickly, Lord, and that and all these delays and all these stallings, Lord, would be stopped in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, that anything that is hindering their path, Lord, that you would remove it in the name of Jesus and that there would be nothing in their way, nothing blocking your will to be done, nothing blocking your work that you've planned for them to do, nothing blocking that work to be done, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give them clarity of mind and you would give them clear direction, that the doors would be open, that there would be just wisdom, Lord, and what people speak to them and what they hear, and they would have discernment in what they hear. They would clearly understand you and understand your will and your direction, Lord, and that they would walk in it. And I pray, Lord, that there would be no further delays in that, that visas and passports and shots and plane tickets and place to live when they get there, all these things, Lord, would be laid out quickly and that they would be on their way. And, Lord, we know that when you put the desire in someone's heart to go onto the field, Lord, you're not going to then snatch it back. You're not going to take it away from them. That's a gift that you've given, and you're not a God that snatches gifts back. And Lord, we just ask you to make it happen now in the name of Jesus, and allow that joy to be full, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you that you are God, hallelujah, who created time and space, Father God. Father God, we do not understand what's happening on the linear table, Father, but you are sovereign over all and hold all things in your hand, Father God. You uphold the McElhaney's even by the word of your power, Father. And as they're in the season of waiting, Father God, let them be their strength be renewed like the eagles. Father God, Father, I pray that you would just even strengthen their marriage, Lord God. Let this be a time where that as they seek you individually, Lord God, you continue to draw them and knit them as a couple and as a family, Father God, so that the enemy will not get a foothold, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, let them be encouraged, Father God, and we lift them before your throne, Father God, that as they work through the process, Lord God, that you would change them and be the light through them into the place you'd have them to go, Father God. They will be so prepared to launch, Father God, that your glory will be seen and go before them, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you will continue to prepare the way and make it straight for them, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would keep any detractors away from them, anyone who would try to discourage them, Lord God. Let them not come into their presence or even into their ear gate or eye gate, Father God, but let them be focused on your presence, Father God, and for your will for their lives, Father God. They believe they have heard from you, Lord, and your sheep hear your voice and the voice of another. They will not follow. And we thank you and continue to lift them before you, Lord God, that their family will be strengthened through this resolve, Lord God, that even the children will see the path they will go as they will follow you in Jesus' name.
Father, we ask that you would knit our hearts together with Tim and Maureen and the kids. And God, how amazingly you have come through in that promise for us this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this couple. I was just struck tremendously by the degree to which Tim is just so incredibly supportive of his wife. I loved hearing, Lord, how he had gone through medical school. You know, it was something that they did together, Lord. And Lord, what a tender moment there when Tim was just supporting Maureen as she was really opening her heart to us. Honestly, about the pain, Lord, of having this, what we hope and pray is a temporary kind of delay, Lord, in them getting out to Egg Bay. Father, I pray that you would just be continuing to accomplish your purposes. Lord, we just claim your promise. We know that you work all things together for the good of those that love you and are called according to your purposes, Lord. And so we know that this pain, even this pain, Lord, is something that you have ordained because of the way that it's going to accomplish something in our lives, in their lives, and in your greater purpose. So I just thank you so much for my sister's willingness to be open there. I did notice her just apologizing for having done so, but Lord, I pray that you would just build her up and enable her to realize that she does not have to apologize for opening up her heart to us, God. It was a blessing. And I, for one, will take that away with me and treasure it as a remembrance. So God, I just thank you for the way that you're obviously at work, that you've obviously been at work in this couple's lives for so many years, Lord. And we just look forward, Lord, to partnering with them and hearing all that you're going to accomplish in and through them to your glory, Lord Jesus. In his name I pray.
Thank you, Father, for the churches in the world and homes and Jesus Christ, Savior, died on the cross to save people in Bethlehem to the American country. And Thank you for the saved friend and the not free saved all saves. The not free all saved then. Thank you, cancer here and some slaves aren't free, and thank you all that Jesus Christ done for them. Okay.
I just wanted to share something with you. Sandy, I think it was Sandy who shared that scripture from Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In Proverbs, it also says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you want understanding of what you're going through, you have to have knowledge. If God doesn't give you knowledge, he's called you to trust. And in Jeremiah 9:24, it says, let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. God wants you to know him, and he wants you to understand him. And as you walk in trust, there's going to be a sweetness to your relationship with Jesus. You can only know him through those hard places. You'll know him like you could not know him without the hardness of those difficulties and those disappointments. And you'll love him more. You'll know his love more. But your testimony and what you have to offer others is going to have a greater depth. You're going to speak to other people in a way that will be sweeter, that will be more real. I can't put it into words for you, but I hope that speaks to your heart. And just one thing that the Lord spoke to me 5 years ago, I thought I'd been through hard, and then the Lord let me go through something a little harder. And I sought him, and he said to me, when you pray, do you really mean it when you pray? Do you follow through with praise? And there were some other things, but maybe that was the thing I want to share with you today, that if you ask God for something, then you're acknowledging he's big enough. If you say, I trust you, God, you're saying he's big enough and he loves you, and it's okay to pour out your heart. Like Brett's been saying, it's okay to be real and to wrestle with God. Tell him exactly what you feel, because he already knows. You might as well be real with him. But follow through with praise. If you have, sometimes the only thing I could do is say, Lord, your word says this is true about you, because in my heart I couldn't go there. So I'd say, Lord, your word says you're faithful. You are faithful. Your word says you're loving. So I don't want to overdo it, but I just want to hopefully.
Amen. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about whatever you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Father, we want to thank you for introducing us to those words before the Michael Haney's even came here. And Lord, today it becomes rhema to us. And because of those words, the faith that we have in those words, Lord God, we can be comforted that everything will be all right. And Lord, we pray that the Michael Haney's will be comforted by those words also, Lord God. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I do want to, as I was standing there a minute ago, this scripture came to mind in Acts, and I hadn't thought of it before, but where Paul was going through the period of time that he and Barnabas had split, and then he went off to go to Asia, and God closed the doors twice, and then opened another door. That's not to say that I think God is saying Nigeria is not the place, but it is to say that the thing that I wanted to bring up was we can't think of Western civilization apart from Paul. And when we think of most of what Paul did, it was in the years after that door had been shut going to Asia, not even prior what had happened to Paul. That, you know, most of the churches that we think of him founding came after that. And so I just want to give you a sense of encouragement that God would say, it may be that the door is closed for now, but that does not mean that it stops any effectiveness in ministry. Paul pressed on, did whatever doors God opened for him at that moment, and God gave him incredible fruit. And so whatever God has for you, it may be that you'll be in Egbe a year from now, but from this moment forward, God wants you to cling to that and hold on that there will be fruit for you, that he has plans and he will accomplish his work. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I pray that all the things that we have asked
and that have been spoken, Lord, that you would seal it to Tim and Maureen's heart. Father, our heart goes out to them, but we can't understand the depths of what they are going through. But Father, we know that your Holy Spirit is at work. Father, this was a shock to us. It was not a shock to you. It was a shock to Paul when you said no to Asia, but you had known it from before the foundation of the earth. Father, you have plans and purposes. I pray, Lord, whether that is in Niger or whether it is in Kenya for the short term, Father, or whether you are the powerful God who will open up the door to Nigeria, and we'll hear tomorrow that Nigeria is back on as a go. Father, you have had your plans, you have had your purposes, and we pray that by the might of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, you would anoint Tim and Maureen, that you would encourage them and keep them and use them, Lord God, that they would be able to serve you. Father, we pray for the people wherever they are heading, that, Lord, you would open up doors for Maureen to use her gifts and her talents medically, Lord God, to care for people who are made in your image. That, Father God, you would also open up doors for them to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, they'd be able to tell these folks that Jesus has come, that he lived in our place, he died in our place, he is raised and interceding for us right now at your right hand. Father, we pray that you would stir up your gifts within them, that, Father, you would give them vision to know where they are called to go, and that, Father, these days ahead would be like Paul in Acts 16 and forward, Lord God, that it would be times of fruit, that there would be work that would be done, Lord God, that would change and transform everything, Lord. You are a God who does that that no man can do, Lord. You open doors that no man can shut. And Father, we pray that you would open the doors. We are asking you as a congregation, Lord, we believe you want us to make our desires known. Our desire is to stand with them and ask that Egbe would be opened up. Father, no bureaucrat can stand before you. You are able to open the door. Father, we pray, we ask that you would do that. And Father, we trust that you are a God who can do that. And we also trust that you know, if, Father, there are reasons why you're opening something else up for a season, that you would make that apparent and that you would show. But Father, our desire is Egbe. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would open that door. And Father, wherever they go, that they would sense the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit, and that, Father, they would see great fruit in serving you and in serving people who are made in your image. Father, we commit them to you and the word of your grace, which is able to build them up, to give them an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Father, hear our prayers. Stretch forth your hand in the mighty name of Jesus Christ to do miracles. We ask in his name, amen. Amen. We are going to conclude now with a word of benediction. I'm going to go back to Psalm 67, which we started our current series in the Book of Uncommon Prayer, and I encourage you to receive God's blessing on you. May God bless us and make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us, that his name may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations. Go forth in the blessing of Jesus to be a blessing to others. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Bay Ridge Christian Church. To learn more about our church or to download more teachings and resources, please visit bayridgechristianchurch.org.